Buddhaya, Krishna, Prasadam, Pradesh, Mati, Bhakti, Vyakti, Swami, Kumanam. Namaste, Saraswati, Devi, Vodavani, Prasadam, Vyakti, Swami, Saraswami, Vyakti, Swami, 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 I've been asked to speak on a particular topic this evening, and it's connected with New Year, indirectly. Because the year 2015 marks the 50th year that His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, appeared here in the West. And, of course, not only did He appear in the West, but for all of us here in Boston, the first time He took His first steps in North America were right here in Commonwealth Pier in Boston, which means that this year in September we will commemorate the 50th anniversary of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet being placed here on Western soil. Devotees throughout the world are actually planning different events to commemorate not only the 50th year of Prabhupada's coming to the West, but all the way up to 2016, which is the 50th year since, will be the 50th year since the incorporation of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in New York in 1966. So it's going to be a year-long celebration in various places throughout the world. Can everyone hear me okay? Amplification is working? Okay. So, for us here in Boston, well, it was September 18th, 1965, was the date that Prabhupada landed here in Boston on Commonwealth Pier. And it was just prior to that arrival that he composed a very beautiful poem called Markandeya Bhagavad Dhamma. It was composed right here in the harbor, just before he came off the boat. I thought it would be appropriate to read it. I could chant it, but if I were to chant it, it would take up most of the time we have between now and 6 o'clock. It's very nice. Srila Prabhupada actually requested one of his disciples to compose a melody for his prayer. It was composed way back, I can't remember when, maybe in the late 60s, early 70s. And that is the way that this prayer has been chanted to date. But the more important is to read the translation, which I will read this evening, and maybe speak a little bit about it, to help us at least put our here in Boston, at least into understanding why it is such a significant event. Of course, for 1965, it was a very significant event, and for 2015, we should try to at least be conscious of that event and what it means for those of us who come in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement, especially it directly, this prayer directly is directly relevant. And for those who are yet to come, the prayer is also very directly relevant. For those of you who will come and celebrate with us, we hope that these few words that we'll say this evening about this prayer will inspire you to make sure that you fix it in your calendar, and that you're in Boston on the third weekend of September, you know, to be here to celebrate it with us. I say with us, I guess that means me too. And quite honestly, I've not been able to be here in previous years when there's been festivals to commemorate Srila Prabhupada's arrival in America, because the date always coincides with an event which is attended by literally thousands of devotees in Ukraine. But it seems that this year the dates will be, there'll be a big gap in those dates, so I should be able to be here for this year, specifically this event. So I'll continue to use the word us in anticipation that I'll be amongst you here in September on the third weekend. Devotees are working, already planning to make it an event that many people will want to come to, not only here in Boston, but hopefully from the rest of North America and maybe even some other parts of the world. Let's read this prayer that Srila Prabhupada composed, and we can speak a little bit about it. My dear Lord Krishna, you were so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Please remember that Prabhupada had come from Vrindavan, sitting in Radha Damodar temple, and in the most sacred place on the planet. He had already composed his Vrindavan Bhajan, explaining to Vaishnavas, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, of what real Vrindavan Bhajan is. And Srila Prabhupada's Vrindavan Bhajan was preparing himself to come to the West. That was his Vrindavan Bhajan. If you read Vrindavan Bhajan from beginning to end, which is probably all another one of my favorite prayers that Srila Prabhupada had composed, he just reveals his heart. And for him, his heart was incomplete because he felt he was not worthy to be in Vrindavan without executing the order of his spiritual master. And he felt that the execution of the order of his spiritual master was his means for being in Vrindavan. Because Srila Bhaktisiddhanta had requested Srila Prabhupada to bring Krishna consciousness to the Western world. Therefore, he found himself sitting in Vrindavan, where most people want to go to prepare themselves to give up their bodies in the sacred place. And giving up one's body in Vrindavan is almost assured that one will gain elevation to the transcendental realm if one leaves Vrindavan in the proper consciousness. Yet Srila Prabhupada felt himself very incomplete, that how could he possibly even think of remaining in Vrindavan, even though he was already at an advanced age when many people would go to Vrindavan and prepare to leave. Prabhupada was thinking, it's not possible for me to remain here in Vrindavan without having completed the purpose for which I exist in this world. He thought, rather than to go back with Krishna and prepare himself for that, and by staying in Vrindavan and fixing his consciousness upon the Supreme Lord, as what many people do at that advanced stage of life, that a higher meditation was to bring Krishna consciousness to the world. So, although Vrindavan was the most wonderful, auspicious place, when he came to America, Prabhupada was saying, otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place unless you had some reason for it, unless you had some purpose? I guess, he says, I guess you have some business here. That's how Prabhupada presented it. I guess you have some business. Of course, this is the mood of a Vaishnava. The Vaishnava has no other business besides Krishna's business. And therefore, Prabhupada presented it in this way, that this is your business, and somehow you brought me here to execute your business. So, let me read a little bit more. Most of the Prabhupada is very generous. Most of the population here is covered. That's Prabhupada's, definitely his generosity. To use the word most. So most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. But I know your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All living entities have become under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. There's more I wish to speak a few words about here, these points also. First of all, Prabhupada is saying that how will they understand the mellows of devotional service? Devotional service, of course, is not so easy to understand. From a worldly, materialistic point of view, when people look at those who are engaged in devotional service, externally it looks like some ordinary activity. It's a mystery, as Krishna himself tells Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, that devotional service remains a mystery, and only by to those who are not engaged in rendering service to him. Krishna remains a mystery, and devotional service remains the mystery. And he says that only by undevoted devotional service can I be understood as I am standing before me. Only then can you enter into the mysteries of understanding me. So Krishna himself explains how devotional service is a mystery. And that mystery can only be unraveled when Krishna removes the illusory covering. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada is saying that all living entities have come under the control of your illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, you can also release them from the clutches of illusion. Because it is Krishna, Maya Dakshina Prakriti Suyate Sacharacharam, Krishna says, this illusory energy works according to my direction. And he also says, Daiviyeshu Gunamayi Mama Maya Dharachiya Mama Ivaye Prabhajate Maya Mitam Tarantite. This divine nature of mind, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is very difficult to overcome. He says, but one who surrenders unto me can easily cross beyond it. It is that illusory energy that Krishna has, that is his energy, which covers the living being and places him in a state of forgetfulness. And therefore, if one wants to become situated in transcendental consciousness, then that illusory energy has to be removed. But how can we remove that illusory energy? That would seem to assume that we are more powerful than Krishna, which is a foolish assumption for anybody who understands a little bit about Krishna, that if I can, by the strength of my own intelligence, scholastic abilities, or whatever it may be, power, strength, I can overcome the illusory energy. People have been trying to overcome the influence of the illusory energy and to escape the miseries of life, birth, death, disease, and old age since time immemorial. And nobody has proved very successful. Prabhupada used to say that the death rate the same today as it was millions of years ago. It's 100%. You can do your calculations and who's been able to overcome it. But therefore that powerful illusory energy, which is the energy which is coming from Krishna, Vishnu Shakti Para Prokta Kshetra Shakti Atata Para Avijakarma Samgana Sutriya Shakti Ishte, that the potencies of the Lord are summarized in three categories. The superior energy, which is full of knowledge, the living entity who belongs to the superior energy, but he can come under the influence of the Lord's third energy, which is ignorance and its visible and fruitive activities. So these are the three primary energies of the Lord. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada is explaining here that because you have created this illusory energy, only you can remove it from those who are covered by it. Prabhupada did not think himself to be worthy or fit. And this also is another expression of a Vaishnava who thinks himself to be unqualified. But although he's unqualified, he feels himself to be very dependent on the will of the Lord and therefore wants to be an instrument for the service of the Lord. So therefore Prabhupada is praying here that I wish that you may deliver them. And this is a very important point, and I wish to speak about it a little bit and share what this means for us. It is stated in the scriptures that one who has pure devotion, one whose heart is filled with love for the Supreme, Krishna is bound by that love. This is a mystery of bhakti. We're going to speak about one of the mysteries of bhakti. And that one of the mysteries of bhakti is that although the Supreme Lord is the supreme, most powerful, supreme proprietor, the greatest person throughout the entire creation, the supreme controller, still, although he's supreme and he's also independent, he takes great pleasure in placing himself in a dependent relationship upon those who love him. So much so, he becomes subordinate to them. Sometimes we think that we conceive of God as the supreme person, who's the supreme controller and proprietor, and therefore we may approach the supreme with prayers for something personal, wealth, health, power. The Lord can bestow all of these things, but he can give something much greater than that. But what he can give even greater than that is that he gives himself. And when he gives himself, he's willing to actually to become subordinate to his devotees who worship him with pure love. He tells Uddhava, Nasadiyati mam yogo, nasankar dhamma Uddhava. He says, unalloyed devotional service rendered by my devotee brings me under his control. I can't be controlled by Sankhya Yoga. I can't be controlled by mystic yoga. I can't be controlled by any other process. But love is very powerful. Very powerful. And for one who has genuine love for the Lord becomes very inclined to satisfy the innermost desires of that devotee and become subordinate to that devotee to satisfy him. And of course, the devotee is one who wants to please the Lord, and the Lord wants to please the devotee, and sometimes there's a competition between the Lord and the devotee. Right? Who can do it better? And even when there's competition, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when there's competition between the devotee and the Lord, generally the devotee's will prevails. And he tells a very, it's a long story, I don't have time for that. But he tells a very beautiful story in this connection, how the devotee's will prevails and the Lord places himself under the control of his devotee. So the Lord relishes, he derives his pleasure from serving his devotees. Sometimes, you know, it's, you know, to be God and have everybody approach you and asking you all these favors, that's only one aspect of the Supreme. Yes, he's God. He is the Supreme Controller. He is the Supreme Proprietor. But there's a much more intimate relationship than that. And there's a much more intimate personality that can't be understood except by devotion. Otherwise, it's, as Krishna says, it's a mystery. You can't understand it. It's just a complete mystery. You can't, only by devotional service will this mystery ever become revealed to you. But if you keep on thinking that, you know, who I am in terms of being simply my relationship to this material world as the proprietor, the controller, I have much better relationships than the relationship with this material. In fact, Krishna says, I don't even have to have anything to do with the material world. Because everything happens according to his will, and his energies take care of the entire cosmic manifestation, beginning from Brahmaloka down to Patala. All of them are controlled by his servants who are assisting him in universal affairs. He doesn't even have to get involved in creating, maintaining, destroying. It all takes place through his energies. So even in the process of creation, maintenance, and destruction, he doesn't have to get involved. So what does he do then? Does he simply sit on a big throne and throw thunderbolts? Keeps record? He updates his computer program to the latest software to keep records of everybody throughout the creation, and every time he needs to check up on somebody, he enters the name into a database. And what does he do? What does he do? He's not, these things are, he already has his potencies, his diverse energies to take care of all these things. So what does he do? What does he relish? What does he engage in? He says, I love my devotees. I want to reciprocate their love. And what better way can I reciprocate their love than becoming completely subordinate to their desires? And here Prabhupada is praying. Prabhupada is praying, I wish that you may deliver them. Therefore, if you so desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. Prabhupada was speaking about us. He was praying to Krishna. And Krishna, he can't be indifferent to such a prayer from such a person who has such deep love for Krishna. He can't be indifferent. He has to make his words come true. That's the nature of the Lord. Prabhupada explains that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, he says, Arjuna, kauntiya pratijanihi nami bhakti pranashiti. He says, Arjuna, you declare it boldly, that my devotee is never vanquished. And Prabhupada explains, Krishna tells Arjuna to declare it. He says, because if I say it, some people may not believe me. But if you say it, they'll have to believe me. Because my devotee's words are always held true. Even Krishna himself said he would never take up any weapons in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Right? But yet, when his devotee, when there's a precarious situation, and Bhishma made a vow. Bhishma is the devotee of the Lord. Bhishma made a vow. He took 5 arrows. And he said, with each of these arrows, I will kill the Pandavas. He said, the only way I will be unsuccessful is Krishna himself stops me. He made that vow. So, as we know then, when Bhishma was about to shoot Arjuna, who was off his chariot, then Krishna picked up the wheel of the chariot and ran after Bhishma, using the wheel of a chariot as a weapon. And there's that famous picture, I don't think it's in here, there's a very famous picture of Arjuna. He's got his arms around Krishna's waist. He's trying to stop Krishna. He's saying, no, Krishna, don't. Don't break your promise for me. What will people think of you if you break your promise? Don't break your promise for me. He's holding him back. But Krishna was ready to break his promise for his devotee. His devotee's word is more important. So when a devotee makes a promise, when a devotee prays to the Lord like this, says, Krishna, please, Krishna, as Prabhupada says, I wish that you may deliver them. Think of the significance. It's very significant. Very significant. Krishna can't be indifferent to such a prayer. This is what Prabhupada was praying for just 50 years ago. Here, Commonwealth Pier in Boston. Deliver them. Thinking of so many generations, not just those present, but also in future. Let them hear your message. Let them understand this mysteries of bhakti, of devotional service. It's so difficult. But please, if you desire it, they will understand it. Therefore, I can understand Prabhupada saying, what Prabhupada is saying is, I can understand you have some purpose for bringing me here. And that is your purpose. And then he quotes the Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, the words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive oral reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And then he quotes Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 2nd Chapter, verses 17 to 21. Very well-known verses. A verse I oftentimes quote, Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shavana Kirtana Hridanti Stohyabhadani Virunoti Suhit Satam. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma, super soul in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. Nasta Prayesha Abhideshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevya, by regular attending Srimad Bhagavatam classes, and by rendering the service to pure devotees, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed. Loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance, such as lust, desire, and hankering, disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness, and he becomes completely happy. Thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness, the man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. That's the end of the quote. Then Prabhupada goes on in his prayer. He will become liberated from the influence of the modes of ignorance and passion, and thus all inauspicious things. The inauspicious things accumulated in the core of the heart will disappear. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I'm very unfortunate, unqualified, and most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message, so if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel enlightened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. This compassion of a Vaishnava. Vaishnava is known as Paradukaduki. Paradukaduki means that he accepts other sufferings as his own. Why does he do that? Because he's not suffering. He's fully dependent upon the Lord and accepts any condition of life that he is in without disturbance. That is a symptom of a person situated in transcendental consciousness, is that in the situated, even in the greatest upheaval, he becomes a sage of steady mind. He's not disturbed. Or we oftentimes quote the verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati. He neither laments nor hankers for anything. He's Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma, self-satisfied. And therefore, engaged in devotional service. So Vaishnava, who's fully dependent on Krishna, is obviously Prabhupada is feeling in this prayer, because he feels his connection with the Lord, he sees that everything moves by the will of the Lord. And whatever situation I'm in, whether it's in happiness, distress, poverty, or wealth, doesn't make any difference. He accepts whatever condition of life. And Prabhupada would many times quote a verse, Narayana paraksave nakutaschinya bibhati svarga pavarga narakesh tulyapi darshan. He says that devotees do not fear any condition of life. Whether they are in heaven, whether they are in hell, whether they are liberated, for them it's all the same, because a devotee is satisfied as long as he has an opportunity to serve Krishna. Wherever he is, it doesn't make any difference. That's, for him, that's his satisfaction. So Prabhupada is here in Krishna's service, and he's already satisfied by being given the opportunity to render service. So Paradukaduki means that, but when he sees other suffering, he feels suffering. He can genuinely feel compassion. In fact, there is a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Pallad Maharaj. He prays to the Supreme Lord. He said, may all envious persons become pacified, and may they all become situated in rendering devotional service to the Supreme Lord, because only then will they be able to think of others' welfare. He's praying in this way. So in the same way, Prabhupada is able to think of everyone's welfare because he's not concerned of his own. So he's Paradukaduki. It means that other sufferings becomes his own. And when he sees other suffering, devotee once told me a story. I'm not sure where it happened. I've always looked for the reference, but the devotee who told me was very reliable. So I've been repeating it. Very simple story. Prabhupada was once in the car with this devotee, and Prabhupada had never seen a golf course before. And he asked the devotees, what are they doing? As they were driving by. And The devotee said, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, that's called golf." He said, "What is this golf?" And the devotee said, "Well, you see that little stick they're holding? They use that stick and they walk around this big course all day and they hit a little ball into a hole." And Prabhupada said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." And the Prabhupada started crying. He said, "They are doing so many things to forget Krishna." He started crying. Tears, compassion. So many things they're doing simply to forget Krishna. And here, when Prabhupada's conversations, his morning walk conversation with the devotees, this is only one of so many stories that we could tell about Prabhupada's compassion. In fact, I was just reading the other day, Prabhupada was on a morning walk with some devotees and there was some sign and it said Children's Fantasy Land, and it was in New York, and it was, the sign was pointing to a little place for Children's Fantasy Land, and Prabhupada turned to the Manhattan skyline and said, "Adult Fantasy Land." Prabhupada, this is vision, the vision of a pure devotee. He sees the material world for what it is, and he sees people's efforts to forget Krishna as the most dangerous, difficult situation to be in. And he feels compassion. He's driven by that. So therefore, he's saying here, he said, "Only by your mercy, causeless mercy, will my words become pure. I'm sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel enlightened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. Oh Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. Oh Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. And you have designated me, I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. Now this is a tirtha. This prayer was composed right on the Commonwealth Pier on board the Jaladuta in 1965. And we're seeing, now we have the opportunity to reflect on what Srila Prabhupada accomplished by his intense prayers, to see how many people did hear Krishna's message, how many people's lives were transformed, how many people understood the purpose of human life, how many people whose spiritual life began. And we have to reflect also on, for many of us, maybe not for myself, but for those of you who may be a little bit younger, the next 50 years. What are we going to do to preserve Srila Prabhupada's method of distributing Krishna consciousness, which was uncompromising in his desire to give pure bhakti to everyone and to awaken Krishna consciousness within everyone's hearts. This is a worthy event to commemorate, and we encourage all of you to come and to celebrate it with us on the third weekend of September this year, and to help us, for those of you who have time, who do live here in Boston and are eager to, or inclined to, help those who are organizing this event, please come forward and in whatever way you can, prana, artha, diya, vacha. Prabhupada used to quote the verse spoken by Lord Krishna that it's the duty of every human being to use his prana, artha, dhiya, vacha, his life, his wealth, his intelligence, or his words for the welfare of others. Any of these things can be used. If you can't give wealth, then give your intelligence. Give your words by telling others about the event. For those who want to give your life, Krishna will take it and make you completely happy. But whatever you give for this event, you'll be the gainer by being given the opportunity to render devotional service. And it means also you have understood Prabhupada's message. So I have to stop here. Thank you very much for allowing me to speak about this topic. And Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Time for RT, so unfortunately there'll be no time for questions.
His Holiness Narendra Maharaj Ki Jai!